Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we have been looking at the role of Mary in Roman Catholic theology in light of Scripture. And we're in the process of looking at the seven claims that the Catholic Church makes about Mary. Thus far, we've covered three of them. The idea that she's the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven, and that she was immaculately conceived. In our program today, we'll focus on the bodily assumption of Mary, her perpetual virginity, and start looking at the claim that she's the co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. First of all, in looking at the bodily assumption of Christ, in the Roman Catholic Catechism, it claims that due to her sinlessness, Mary's body was taken from the earth and went directly into heaven. And I read from this catechism, which says, by the special privilege of her assumption, the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary, united to her immaculate soul, was glorified and taken into heaven. It was most fitting that the Blessed Virgin Mary should be preserved from the consequences of sin, the corruption of death, and the deferment of glory until the last day. It was most appropriate that her body shall be glorified as soon as her earthly life was ended. So the claim is that right at her death, she was taken up into heaven directly, raised just like Jesus Christ was. Once again, trying to parallel the ministry and life and authority of Christ. I think referring to one passage of Scripture should be enough on this point, which says in John chapter 3, verse 13, which says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man. So John, writing after all the events of the life of Christ, is able to say that Jesus is the only one that's ascended into heaven. And remember, John's gospel was written later, and he's the one, according to John chapter 19, actually received Mary into his home and took care of her at the request of Jesus until her death. And here he makes a statement that Jesus alone is the one that ascended into heaven. So another exalted and false claim about Mary in Roman Catholic theology, which clearly contradicts the Scripture. The fifth claim as to the exalted position of Mary is that she was a perpetual virgin. That means that she was a virgin as she delivered Christ, which the Bible claims, but then from that point on, she remained a virgin. And this would be in clear contradiction of some obvious scriptures in the Gospels. Now, I'm not exactly sure why they would want to claim this of Mary, because in the Scriptures, God is the one that's given us the normal sexual relations with our spouses to enjoy as well as to be fruitful and to multiply. The Bible is not down on the sexual relationship. It's against the sexual relationships outside of marriage. But God has blessed and honored the marriage bed, as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 declares, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, as you read through that portion of Scripture, it says that the husband is to render the due affection to his wife, and the wife is to render the due affection to her husband. It even says that our bodies no longer belong to us, but actually belong to one another in the marriage relationship. Let me look at a few scriptures that would clearly point out that Mary was not a perpetual virgin. The first would be in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25, which speaks of Joseph, once he found out that Mary was with child, but then the angel spoke to him to remain with Mary. And it says this in verse 25, and did not know her, which is a polite way of speaking about the sexual relationships, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Here, preserving the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, but then later on, Joseph had the normal sexual relations with Mary. I always thought that if Mary was a perpetual virgin, then the true saint would also be Joseph, who would have also had to sacrifice and given up that God-given right to have normal relations with his wife. Then going on also into Matthew chapter 13, in verses 54 through 56, it's clear that Mary had other children. And these verses read, and when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joses, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And there's a parallel account in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, which repeats these same truths. And so if you look at this passage of Scripture, it says he has brothers, James, Joses, Simon, and Judas, and he also had sisters, which is plural. So that's at least six other children besides Jesus, clearly showing that Mary was not a perpetual virgin, because clearly the Catholic Church does not claim that Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to these other children as well. Another passage of Scripture right in the Gospel of Matthew, once again, is Matthew chapter 12 and verse 47, which reads, "Then one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.'" And that's when Jesus said, "My brother and sister and mother are those who do the will of my Father in heaven." Then one final passage of scripture is John chapter 7, verse 5, when his brothers were mocking him and telling them to go up to Jerusalem and reveal himself. Verse 5 says, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." Once again, supporting the fact that Mary had other children. Let's move on to the sixth claim where the Roman Catholic Church exalts Mary, and that is that she has co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. In Roman Catholic theology, they teach that the obedience and suffering of Mary was necessary to secure the full redemption accomplished by Christ. Odd, in his Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, writes this: "In the power of the grace of redemption merited by Christ, Mary, by her spiritual entering into the sacrifice of her divine Son for men, made atonement for the sins of men and merited the application of the redemptive grace of Christ." So here, Mary actually participates in atoning for man's sins. As I continue to read some of these other quotes from Catholic sources, there's a claim that she is also the mediatrix or the mediator of the grace of God. That means that as God dispenses his grace to mankind, it also comes through Mary. In reading in the Catholic Encyclopedia, it refers to Mary as her position as co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. Pope Leo XIII in 1891 claimed, "Nobody can approach Christ except through Mary." Pope Pius X in the early 1900s said that Mary is, and I quote, "the dispenser of all gifts which Jesus has acquired for us by his death and his blood." And then topping it off, Pope Pius XI, who was a pope from 1922 to 1939, said, "With Jesus, Mary has redeemed the human race." And then Vatican II also supports these claims in their document, which reads about Mary the following: "Taken up to heaven, she did not lay aside the saving role, but by her manifold acts of intercession continued to win for us gifts of eternal salvation." So it's clear in Roman Catholic theology that Christ's death is not the sole reason where man could be saved and have a right relationship with God. Mary actually entered into that suffering by being the one that bore Christ and thus somehow being a co-redemptrix with Jesus Christ. And then now her role in heaven is to mediate the grace of God. Their basic idea is that if you want to get to somebody or influence somebody, what you could do is talk to their mother, and their mother will influence the son. They believe that same thing is happening now. That's why there's so many prayers that are offered to Mary to ask Jesus to help us, or that she is the mediator to bring the grace of God for us. As I was a Roman Catholic, I said the following prayer: "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen." We were taught that we could call out to Mary and she could pray for us and make intercession and then have the grace of God dispensed through her to us to help us in our time of need. This is completely contrary to many passages of Scripture, but we'll look at two of them. The first passage, which is key, is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, which says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Mary is not a mediator between God and man. There's only one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ himself. He alone is the one that is deserving of such prayer and devotion and commitment. Then also, in relationship to the sacrifice of Christ, Christ alone purged our sin, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Christ is seated at the right hand of God because he was exalted, he was raised, he was the only one that was raised, and he by himself purged our sin. I love what Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14 goes on to say, "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." It was through the offering of Jesus Christ. So he alone is the one that is that mediator between God and man because of his work on the cross. He has provided eternal salvation, eternal redemption for us. And it's not going through Mary. She is not the gate of heaven. She is not the co-redeemer. She is not the co-mediator of the grace of God. That role and that privilege belongs to Jesus Christ and him alone. And that is a doctrine which we need to defend and to preach and proclaim. I encourage you, as Acts 17 verse 11 says, that we need to search the scriptures to see if these things are so.